Almighty, sent like the Son. Hopefully had some meaningful conversations there as we start to think about what it means to be sent by God. But again, this morning we start this new series titled Crossing the Street, ultimately living alongside with the hope of Jesus. And it's a resource given to us by Baptist Mission Australia, or put together by Baptist Mission Australia. Again, one of the organisations we're going to be getting behind this May Mission Month. Obviously, we're going to rework it, make it our own. But it's a resource given by them. And it's a series ultimately where we seek to explore again the stories of Jesus in the Gospels as we seek to learn from his example in standing alongside the poor, the marginalised, and oppressed across our community and in turn the world. And it wasn't until I went on to a mission trip to Cambodia when I was in my early years of Bible college that I really came to understand the plight of many people around the world. You probably don't realise this, but we are very much in the minority in the West. I heard a stat a number of years ago where it said if you owned your own car, you're in the top 5% of the world's wealth. That's a phenomenal statistic, isn't it? In the West, we live in the minority. But I was on this mission trip to Cambodia, my first experience of overseas mission, where again, my eyes were open to the wider world. And I've spoken of this story before, but when we arrived in the airport, I was there with my previous church on a mission trip trying to discover whether we could fund a children's home in Cambodia as a church in my previous line of work. And I was there with my pastors, and we were there to speak at a conference and assist this organisation, Asia's Hope, where we could. And I'll talk a bit about Asia's Hope in just a moment. But in this particular trip, when we arrived at the airport, again, the sheer reality of life outside the West was greeted to us after our 11-hour flight from Australia. We jumped on the bus to head to the hotel where we were staying, and when we stopped at a set of traffic lights, a group of children no older than 8 or 9 years old came up to the windows and started tapping on the windows, asking for money, trying to sell things to us. And these children were disheveled, their hair was a mess, and it was just a really confronting scene, the first real experience of Cambodia, having these children come up to the bus as they did. Anyway, the bus continued on, and the pastor that were with us spoke to us and told us that this was a common theme within the nation of Cambodia. Pimps would take children from their home, and power-hungry men send them out to take advantage of foreigners and try and get money out of them. It's just horrific stuff. But it was that experience, and then later on in the trip, we drove up to visit a monastery on the top of this mountain. It was a beautiful mountain with this beautiful monastery. But at the foot of the mountain, there was this village of really poor people. And these are an example of one of the houses that we saw there. Can you imagine living in that? That's someone's home. Someone lives in that. And I just look at my house next door and compare it to that, and it brings me to tears that someone lives in that. But that's the reality for so many people around our world. And our pastors, well, the pastors that were taking us around the country were telling us that this was only the tip of the iceberg. We hadn't even seen the worst of the poverty experiences in this country. It was only the tip of the iceberg. But it was while I was on this trip that I was really inspired by one of the pastors that we got to know. And his name was Pastor Suvun, a man who took the plight of his country seriously, a man who models to us today exactly what it means to follow Jesus. That's his example. That's a photo of Pastor Suvun, hopefully, that I've taken. Hopefully you can see that. But this is a man with such a powerful testimony, an encouraging story. And he actually grew up in a Buddhist family, a strong Buddhist family, and he shared some of his story with us whilst we were in Cambodia. And he shared the story of when the Khmer Rouge came and absolutely decimated the country. This was a military regime led by their evil dictator, Pol Pot, and they just decimated the country, trying to take power, the Khmer Rouge. And they entered into the village, they tried to convince Pastor Suvun to hate his parents, which he did, and destroyed his family ultimately. And this is a full-on time for the nation of Cambodia. You may have seen the movie The Killing Fields, it's depicted in that movie. But people were killed. And only in 4 years of the Khmer Rouge regime, They enslaved almost the whole entire country. Can you imagine that? The whole entire country, to the point where they starved, they were tortured, they were murdered. Nearly a third of Cambodia's population were murdered by the Khmer Rouge. And a large reason why a lot of that nation is in poverty today is because of these circumstances in the 60s and 70s, and they still are reeling from the effects of that today. But after the Vietnamese overthrew the Khmer Rouge in 1979, Pastor Suvun was sent into basically military as a teenager and became a child soldier. He was given a gun, no military training, and these armies of teenagers and children were there to try and, I guess, come up against those who were opposing the new system of governance, basically. But again, given a gun, no training, and he faced hunger, fear, disease, constant threat of enemy soldiers and landmines. Landmines are still in the country. They told us while we're there, you need to, if you go in particular parts of the country, you need to be aware that there's still live landmines there. It's an absolutely crazy life, isn't it, already? You can't even fathom that or think of that. You can't even write a story like this. It's just phenomenal. They should make a movie about Pastor Suvun, I reckon. But thankfully, through it all, and these are his words, God spared his life. He wasn't a Christian at this point. And after a while, he was able to escape all this. He actually found himself on the border of Cambodia and Thailand, where he became a refugee, as a refugee camp. And it was at this point that God really took on his life in a big way and showed up in his life in a really big way. He heard stories of the Gospels, heard stories of Jesus, and he almost became a Buddhist monk while he was in this refugee camp. But it was Jesus Christ who would get Pastor Suvun's attention. And he shared how he heard the Gospel many times during his time in this camp, but his heart was so hardened that he didn't accept Jesus into his life until later on after he left the camp and again heard the incredible news of Christ's love for him. And it was at that moment when he was accepted Christ into his life that he felt the call to go into full-time ministry. And he did that. He didn't know anything about God, didn't know anything about theology. He just felt the call of God. The Holy Spirit led him to go to Bible college, which he did. He later became a pastor and then grew to become the national director of an organization called Asia's Hope in Cambodia. And his role was to sort of partner with churches around the world, and they would take at-risk kids, rescue them from these horrible situations, put them in a home with a mum and dad, feed them, nurture them, share Jesus with them, give them an education. And these are homes all across Cambodia. And this man is a big part to why Asia's Hope have done so well in Cambodia. But this is a man, again, who realized that he is a sent one by God. Amen. In his life, the call of the Holy Spirit was on him, and he understood that he was a sent one by God. And he would come alongside the poor, marginalized, and oppressed in his own backyard, in his own neighborhood. So the question for all of us here today, as followers of Jesus, did you realize that you too are a sent one? What about you? What about me? Where might God be calling us in our neighborhoods? Again, in that passage earlier on, Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You and I, if we have accepted Jesus Christ into our lives, we are sent like the Son. And in this book by Ash Barker, he says this, Making Poverty Personal, the Bible has so often been reduced to children's entertainment, rather than the greatest revealed response to poverty and injustice ever written. Is that the one? There we go. Need you, Greg. I'm already struggling, mate. We'll see how we go. Revealed response to poverty and injustice ever written. For when it comes to understanding and responding to poverty, the best book to read is still the Bible. The reality is, this is God's responsibility. Amen. This world and everything that goes wrong in it is God's responsibility. Our role as followers of Jesus is to partner with him and to follow God into this world, into this mission. We are sent like the Son. And you might ask, how How are we sent? What is Jesus on about here? Well, as we look at his life, as we explore what it means for Jesus to be sent, this is what we see he was sent to do. He was simply sent to meet people where they were at. And he did this by making room for people in his life. He was sent to model the heart of the Father and ultimately bring the good news of the Father's love to the world. And again, these are the themes that we're going to be exploring over the next 5 weeks, making room for people, meeting people where they're at, modeling the heart of Jesus, being the good news together. That's how Jesus modeled sentness to us. And that's what we're going to be exploring again over the coming weeks. But like Christ was sent, we too have been sent. Amen. Do you believe it? As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We are called and commissioned again to participate with God in his mission of calling and redeeming and saving this world, bringing it from something that is fallen and depraved into something that bears the image of the kingdom of God. That is our responsibility. That is my responsibility, your responsibility as followers of Jesus. If you take the call in your life to be a disciple of Jesus seriously, then we need to understand that we are sent ones, sent like the Son. So what does that look like? What does the kingdom of God look like? What is it all about? How are we meant to bring this into the world? Well, we explored this last year in our series, The Story of God, and I encourage you to go to our podcast, and you may want to check out that series once again. But ultimately, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. Excuse me. It's a kingdom of reconciliation and peace. You know, there's no warring parties in the kingdom of God. There's oneness, as we spoke about it at the communion table. There's reconciliation, there's oneness, there's justice. The kingdom of God is one of justice. And not just not talking about people getting what they are due. It's actually talking about right relationships, how we relate to one another. The kingdom of God, and when Jesus returns, the kingdom will be a time where people treat each other with fairness, generosity, and equity. When that doesn't happen, that's when you have poverty and everything that goes on in our world. The kingdom of God is one of beauty. Have a think about those times when you're at the mountaintop looking at creation, or at your beach looking at the waves coming in, like we had the opportunity to do in Queensland. It was a great opportunity to get away. But think about those moments. It's a beautiful moment, isn't it? Because God's creation is beautiful. The kingdom of God is one of beauty. And finally, wholeness. The word for wholeness is shalom, peace, completion. The kingdom of God is one of reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness. And that means there's no sin, no disease, no suffering. Again, the miracles that Jesus performed demonstrated a kingdom of wholeness. But this is what Jesus did when he walked this earth, amen? This is what he brought. This is what he demonstrated. This is what he proclaimed to us in a powerful, powerful way. And the way in which he did that simply was by doing life with people, crossing the street, turning up in people's neighborhoods, sharing the amazing news of God's love for them. This is what he did. This is how he brought the kingdom. And we ought to follow that example too. Amen. This is the example we ought to follow as followers of Jesus. Again, because we have been sent ultimately to cross the street, to build bridges, to be advocates for reconciliation, justice, to demonstrate beauty, wholeness. This is what we are called to do as followers of Jesus as well, and do it in a way that makes sense to them, amen? It's one of the key things Jesus did, and we spoke about this earlier on, not that long ago, the parables of Jesus. Jesus spoke in parables to make the kingdom of God easier for us to understand. We need to do it too. Teach the stories of Jesus. Teach the kingdom of God in a way that makes sense to people and where they are at. But again, we need to realize that we are not responsible for God's mission. We are merely participants, amen? It is God's prerogative. We partner with him. He invites us, which is a wonderful thing, to partner with him in his mission of saving and redeeming this world. Again, Pastor Savoy is a great example of that, a man who understood that. come from broken, humble beginnings, and God used him in a mighty way. Do you realize God can use each and every one of us in a mighty way too? Do you believe that? I believe that. And you know why? Because you, if you're a follower of Jesus, have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. The power of God within you, which is my second point here today. Not only are we sent like the Son, but we are sent in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a beautiful thing to understand and realize. I think this is something that we struggle to understand sometimes. Like we understand the Father-Son dynamic, but sometimes we maybe think that the Holy Spirit sits underneath them. Maybe the Holy Spirit's a little bit inferior. Maybe that's, if you think that way, generally it's because of your denominational upbringing, maybe the way you've been brought up, discipleship. But I find in life that we understand the Father-Son part of the Trinity pretty well. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we just can't really grasp it. But the Holy Spirit is so important when it comes to this reality of being sent ones. Again, Jesus spoke about it in John 20:22. He said to his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus understood the importance of the Holy Spirit. Do you know he did nothing in his own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit? You and I have that same power living within us. Amen. That's what happens when you accept Christ into your life. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And again, the Spirit actually reveals to us something critical, again, of God's redeeming mission in this world. And I think if you have a chance to grab this book called Untamed, it's a book by Alan Hirsch, missiologist. It's a great book, and he speaks about the essential role of the Holy Spirit in mobilizing us and this understanding of being sent. And he uses the term Missio Dei. Whether you heard that or not, you may not have. Missio Dei is a Latin term for basically the mission of God. The God that we serve and worship, he is a missionary God, a sent God. So God sends the Son into the world. We get that, don't we? We know that with a Christmas time and an Easter, we celebrate that God sent his Son into the world. God is a sending God. And together, Father and Son, they send the Holy Spirit into the world to us. And it's the Holy Spirit then whose job is to mobilize us, each and every one of us, into God's mission in this world. Alan Hirsch says, "Mission is a spiritual quest and is very close to the heart of God. To do it well, we must be willing to deal with the Spirit, discern his ways, and align ourselves with his purposes." In John 15:26 and 27, Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." It's a Spirit. "And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." This is one of the key reasons that the Spirit of God was sent to us. Amen. To comfort us, to be our Advocate, to remind us of truth, but also to send us out into mission. And I'm glad I learned this lesson really early on. And I had these moments when I used to go down to Cronulla. Again, in my early days at Bible college, I'd spend time with God, I would pray, and then I'd go for a little walk. And it was in those walks that I experienced the Spirit's call to mission. He just prompted me randomly to speak to random people. I'd just be sitting there looking at the waves at the beach, and there'd be this man standing next to me. And the Spirit would prompt me, have a chat with him, speak with him. And that's not something I normally do, but when the Spirit prompts, you got to obey, right? So I started striking up a conversation with this man, and long story short, he ended up opening up his life to me. And I was able to share Christ with him. I said I was a pastor at a local church, and it was a great conversation. Nothing came of it. But then I had another conversation another week with two young adult males in their early 20s playing handball. And again, the Spirit prompted me to speak to them, and I striked up a conversation with them. Long story short, the following week, one of them came to church after I shared the gospel with him. And I explained to him what church I was at, and then he came up to me. He's like, "Do you know I was the one playing handball?" I was like, "Wow, you were." That's just an example of being open to what the Spirit is doing in someone's life. But that's the reality of what he does, amen? And the key is being open to the Spirit's prompting. Being willing to be used by him, to stand with the poor, marginalized, and oppressed. And that's the key as well. But that's what the Spirit does. Ultimately, His role is to bring out the fruits of the Spirit within us so that we are effective witnesses to Jesus Christ. That's what He does. And the question now to that is, who might He be calling you to speak with today or this week? Who might He be calling you to stand with? That is someone marginalized, someone who's going through a hard time, someone who is feeling the full effects of poverty in this world. But as we finish up here today, not only do we have the Spirit alongside of us, we are also sent as beloved children of the Father. And we must not underestimate this point, because have a think about in your times. Hopefully this has been your experience as it was mine. But when you had experiences in your life that brought you out of your comfort zone, whether that would be starting school for the first time as a child, or sitting a big exam, going for your driver's license, playing in a grand final. In those situations, you know what my parents would say to me? I'd say, Dan, no matter what happens, know that we love you. And that's all I needed to hear, that no matter if I failed and failed miserably, I still had two parents who loved me dearly and would nurture me and love me and be there for me. And this comes back to our spiritual journey as well, does it not? The reality that we are loved by the Father because of what Christ has done. We are seen in His image, in His eyes. We are loved by the Father, and that should make us secure in our identity. And we see this quite clearly in the passage that Peter read out to us, Mark 1, 9-15, when Jesus is baptized. At that baptism, the Father declares to the Son, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And that was all Jesus needed to then be mobilized out into ministry and mission. That's all He needed to know that He was secure in the Father's love. And some of us here today need to be reminded of those words, I believe. So you are loved by the Father, as a daughter, as a son of the Most High God, who loves you. No matter what you do that displeases Him or upsets Him, He will still love you. No matter if we get it wrong when we share the good news of Jesus Christ and we stumble across our words, it doesn't matter, because we're still loved by the Father. And each and every one of us, I believe, would do well to take that with us here today, because not only are we sent like the Son, not only are we sent in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we are sent as beloved children of the Father, the God Most High. So as we finish up here today, the reality is not all of us are going to be called into overseas mission, are we? Not all of us are going to be called to become pastors. But if you are a follower of Jesus here today, the reality is each and every one of us are called into full-time ministry. Amen. We are all called, sent, and commissioned to live this out practically. Sent like Jesus, sent in the power of the Holy Spirit, and sent as beloved children of God as our children come in. What a beautiful segue. And how do we live this out practically? Again, by supporting, advocating, being as generous as we can with our finances to fund mission, to get behind mission, but ultimately to realize that we are missionaries in our own neighborhood and called to model Jesus by crossing the street and being vessels of Christ's love and hope in this world. On that note, I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, again for Your love and Your mercy. We thank You for the great God that You are. And as we listen to the children as they come back in, we are just reminded, Lord God, first and foremost today, that we are children of You, sons and daughters of the Most High. You love us, You care for us, and Your desire is to use us in an incredible way. And I believe that for each and every one of us here, those on site and online here today, that Your desire is to use us to be vessels and agents of Your mission in this world, to be vessels of reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness. So Lord, may You use us, and may we be ultimately open to what the Spirit of God is seeking to do in our lives here today. Bless us now as we come to sing this song, Hosanna. And as we sing it, Lord God, we do ask, as some of the lyrics say, that our hearts will be broken for what breaks Yours. And we pray this in Your Son's wonderful name. Amen.